Hi, my name is Pat, and I am a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I would like to do a commentary on day 35. I'll read the verse again from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. The verse reads, "In your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." The first part of that verse that I underlined was, set apart Christ as Lord. And it is all about Jesus. It is all about Jesus. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Jesus has been given so that I can see the Father clearer. And the Holy Spirit helps me to live this new life that has come about because of his sacrifice on my behalf. And it's all about him. In this life, it's all about him. And so I have to have a conscious effort to keep him in my conscience. When I wake up in the morning, I really try to bring my mind back to the mind of Christ. I often share that when I get up in the morning, usually I have to contend with the voices. They can hardly wait for me to get my feet on the floor before some accusation is coming in my mind about something that I either didn't finish or didn't do well or whatever and whatever. And I have to bring my conscious mind back to my Savior. My redemption, my eternal life, my indwelling spirit, my great commission. That is what I am called to do, to remember each and every day. And so I set apart Christ as Lord. The second part of that verse says, always be prepared. In the Bible, coupled with sincere prayer is my best preparation. I love it. That Stephanie has this little phrase, Bible before breakfast, and I'm telling you that has really kept me over the years to learn how to feed my spiritual soul before I even feed my spiritual body. And so the Bible, coupled with my prayers from my redeemed heart, truly gets me in best place to be prepared to give an answer. And it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you. Everyone who asks you. And I realize this from reading the Bible that God indeed sends me to people. And I was just reading that in Acts, I think it's chapter 8, where Philip, the evangelist, is sent. The Lord just kind of picks him up and sends him to the desert where he is right there with an Ethiopian eunuch who is trying to understand the word. So yeah, the Lord sends me places, you know. He also prompts me. I know this happened to me on Saturday. I was at my desk working on something, and I'm telling you, someone from this phone line, their name kept popping up in my mind, and I kept putting it to the side, saying, okay, I'm going to go and call them later on, but it just kept popping up, and I called them, and I'm telling you, it was one of the best conversations. We talked, and we prayed, and it was like, I realized that, yeah, the Lord sends me, he prompts me to go to people, but he also sends people to me. I'm coming to understand that, yes, I'm called to make my little schedule of my day, to sketch out my day, but to not put it in stone, because he will send quote-unquote interruptions. And interruptions are not interruptions as a child of God, but they are opportunities. If the person already knows Jesus, it's an opportunity to remind them, to encourage them. to get their mind set back where they have set apart Christ as Lord. If they don't know Jesus, it's an opportunity to spread the word. And as someone else likes to say on the slide, and if necessary, use words, you know, but definitely by my kindness and giving to whoever the Lord sends to me. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. The Lord is my rock eternal. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus. Jesus is my hope. Yesterday I was making some phone calls and someone told me that she felt hopeless, and I know that she knows Jesus, and I tried gently to remind her that she might feel hopeless, because I certainly have been that way myself, but I must remind her of the truth. The truth is that she is not hopeless, because Jesus lives in her, and Jesus is hope, and I never, never am hopeless with him. He is my hope. And so to be able to share that clearly and honestly takes God. It takes the Spirit dwelling in me. In that last part, it says, do this with gentleness and respect. That verse reminds me to be gentle and to be respectful. Those who are suffering and hurting, they need to know that I care. And I need to have perfect timing, and only the Lord knows perfect timing, not me. And so he will give me the words to say, and he'll give me the timing to say it. But I need to ask him for it, and I need to listen and be obedient when he tells me it's time, or when he tells me to keep silent and just to listen. In my Old Testament reading, where I am right now, I'm in the book of Job, and Job is the object of the devil's wrath right now. Lots of things have happened to him, and he doesn't know why it's happening. He has tried very hard up until this time to live his life righteously. He has given all that he can to the Lord, and he's not like I am, where I have the story, I have the, you know, the Word of God, and I'm reading his story, you know, with information that he doesn't have. So he doesn't know what's going on, and neither does his friends. And his friends come first. They come in the right way. They come and they listen. But then after a while, they get impatient, and they start blaming him and telling him that he has some sin that he didn't confess, and this is why all this problem is happening to him. And boy, I know I've been there before, you know, getting impatient with someone. I can start off very, very patient, and then all of a sudden it's like, look, girl, just get it together. You know, I'm tired of hearing this, you know, on and on. And so I cannot afford to do that. Otherwise, I could end up like Moses, you know, on the backside of a desert for 40 years, you know. I don't want that. You know, when Moses knew, in the Bible, this also Moses knew that he had been called, and yet he moved too quickly, even to the point that in his zeal, he killed somebody, and then ended up having to run for 40 years before he could get on with the business that the Lord had intended for him. And so that gentleness and respect is certainly a commission from the Lord. Also, as a woman, I am called to be gentle. I'm called to be gentle and quiet in my spirit. And so I like that in another part. In fact, it's in the same chapter of Peter. It's in the 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. But it speaks about a woman, and it says, my beauty should not come from outward adornment. It doesn't mean that I don't adorn myself. That's fine. I can adorn myself, but I don't depend on my beauty, on what I have put on. But I depend on my beauty as being what is inside. It says it's an unfading beauty, of a gentle and quiet spirit. And that is what, you know, the Lord calls me. He made me a woman. And beauty is a big part of that, being a woman. But again, it's not the outward adornment beauty, but it's the beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. In that reading, so grateful, in that first paragraph it says, He changed my heart, He made me brand new. And when I think about how awesome this is, I'm filled with gratitude. And I had thought about, I think about, it's important what I think about, in that Philippians is a verse, Philippians 4:8, and Paul reminds the reader, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think about such things. And so my mind, I have to check my thinking. What am I thinking about? Because my mind is a powerful tool. And whatever it is that I will think about, eventually it's going to affect my attitude and my feelings. And so I have to think about what He has done for me when I try to go out and spread His word. It also speaks about this story about a man who was placed in his right mind. And my right mind is the mind of Christ. I am a new creation. He has created me anew. I have been born again. And also, my right mind is that to remember that I have been commissioned to spread the good news. And I realized that as a recovering compulsive overeater, what an opportunity I have in today's world. I live in a world today that has gone mad with body image and appearance. And at the same time, they are obsessed with overeating and food. You know, what a combination. Even non-overeaters can see that. My husband, sometimes, you know, I buy these women magazines, and he always laughs. He said, yeah, on the banner of all the women's magazines, you can sure to find something about dieting, and then they have a big picture of some, you know, forbidden food right on the front of it, too. You know, those two combinations, mad about body image and appearance, you know, and obsessed with overeating and food. And to have a solution can certainly get their attention. I always think about that when I'm at the gym and this 60-year-old body is on that treadmill, you know, and I remember one day getting off the treadmill and this woman came to me and she said, you're who I want to be when I grow up. And I smiled and I said to her, I said, I have to be honest with you. I said, the only reason that I can, you know, jog on that treadmill like I do is that I call on the Spirit of God. I said, I do. I said, I don't get on it without calling on His Spirit. He helps me to get through it. And you who are on that loop, who are praying for me too, you know that you pray for me to get my little body over there, because sometimes I don't even want to go. Yet, again, the Great Commission puts me in places that I don't necessarily want to be, but He gets me over there. In the second paragraph, it talks about failing to share the gospel with gentleness and respect. I think about how Peter did when they came to get Jesus for the crucifixion, and he took out his sword and he lopped off that ear of that helper. And the Lord, I like it how Chuck Swindoll says, he says, put that sword away, Peter. You know, and that's what the Lord has to say to me, you know, sometimes, you know, put that Bible away, girl, you know, and do what I ask you to do. I'm asking you to be kind and loving to this person. You know, it's not the time to be spouting off any Bible verses, you know, and so I need to remember that. I need to let the Lord help me to be gentle and respectful. And that means I have to wait for His timing. It talks in that last paragraph about being impatient and arrogant. Oh my goodness, that is a biggie for me. Like I said, impatient. You know, I can start off like Job's friends. Oh, so patient and loving. And then after a while, you know, I can even hear it in my own voice, that irritation that, you know, it's taking too long. And I have to remember what I've even heard in secular rooms. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so I have to know that people are looking to be cared for. And the Lord will strengthen me to care for them. And then the last thing I'll end with, it says here, my ability to witness well for Jesus is so dependent upon remembering Jesus' rescue of me. And I love that verse from Psalm 42 and 3, but I also love that verse from Titus, chapter 3, verse 5. It says, He saved me, not because of righteous things I had done, but because of His mercy. He saved me through the washing of rebirth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. I love it, love it, love it. But I also love to hear from you. I'm going to ask Stephanie if she could tell us a few of her thoughts about this reading. And I do thank her for being our shepherd today. Stephanie?